The time has come where two business besties, that's us, come together to share all of the behind the scenes, laughter, tears, trial and tribulations of exiting our 9-to-5s and building out a multi six-figure coaching and learning company for women entrepreneurs. Imagine this, you're sitting around a cozy living room, the hot beverages are poured, and you and your besties are talking about the real honest moves you're making to grow a sustainable business and how you're doing whatever it is that you love all day. That is this podcast episode.
Hi everyone, Kayla here, your Virgo systems queen and manifesting generator to that core. I love creating effective, profit-driven business systems that take the guesswork out of growth and scaling. My mission is to support women in building your wealth.
And I'm Nicole. If you've been around for a minute, you probably know that I am the host of our TGIM segment on the podcast, which is your weekly dose of mindset and manifesting inspo. I'm a human design generator, an Aries sun, and the woman with about 1,000 ideas in my head a day. Exiting my teaching job was both terrifying and thrilling, and it wasn't until I met Kayla and we built this company did I truly feel like my ideas could be brought to life in a successful, profitable business.
Our intention on this podcast is to take you backstage of what it's been like building this company. From hiring and firing, the systems and processes that are required, the deep mindset work that we're committed to, and to show you how it can all be done. Because we don't believe in gatekeeping around here. And of course, we want to bring all of our humanness to the show to let you know that we're not any different than you.
So sticking true to our motto, we want to show you how you can all make a lot of money, have a lot of fun, and do a lot of good in this world. Come hang out with your business besties every Thursday. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Biz Besties. We're your hosts, Nicole and Kayla. And as I mentioned, you probably heard, if you already listened to TGIM this week, that we are going to be talking about all of the times that Kayla and I have chosen to go first. And when we say first, we mean maybe the first in our friend group, of our generation, in our family. We're not saying we're the innovators of these things. We're saying that we didn't really have somebody to look up to or lead the way in a lot of these situations, and we still did it anyway. So that's what this conversation is going to be about, with the intention to spark inspiration in you to know that if there's that little nudge in the back of your mind that says, I really want to try this thing or leave this thing or start here or whatever it might be, stop waiting for somebody else to give you permission or to see that somebody else did it first and succeeded or failed to know if you should go and try and to see if you'll succeed or you won't fail if you try. And that's what this conversation is all about, because we know that there are a lot of you who are trailblazers and you're just sitting on so many good ideas and so many incredible life-changing opportunities. We know that this convo will spark some inspo. But before we get into it, Kayla, what are you grateful for today?
Okay, I was thinking about this before we hit record and I need to share it. I am grateful for clean beauty products. I'm so grateful. Number one, I'm going to do my top three. Ilia makeup is so nice. I love the SPF 40 serum. I love how it's so easy now to just order clean makeup to your door. Amazing. Okay, so I love that Ilia serum. I'm number four, Formosa. I don't know what they name things after, but I'm number four. And then I also ordered, some lip gloss, obviously, because it's my favorite. And last week I ordered from Glow Jar, which is our friend Jamie's company. And I got some moisturizer and the eye roller. And I also love Beauty Counter. I have been a Beauty Counter consultant for a long time. And I mainly do it for the discount and hear what the company is doing and see how it's all set up. I don't really promote it, but I love the products. And between all of us Beauty Counter people inside of My Aligned Purpose, we love to chat about what's the best lipstick, what's going on with toner, who's using what moisturizer. And yeah, I love it. So there's lots of clean beauty options and I'm grateful for that. What about you?
So good. I'm definitely grateful for having a podcast. I got off an interview that, not an interview, I had a guest on our show this morning that will be released in a few weeks. And I was a guest on somebody else's podcast yesterday that I think is going to be released right away. And I just think about the lineup of women. We have a lot of Vancouver Island women-owned businesses, the owners of those businesses coming on to the show to share their story about entrepreneurship. And I think starting conversations with women in the DMs is so fun. And to be able to say, we have this platform, do you want to come on? I always say to everybody, it's really conversational. Imagine you and I are sitting down having coffee and we're just inviting everybody into it. That's all that this is about. No pressure. And to be able to have this platform to invite people onto, and we've got some really big guests coming up, and yeah, it just feels really fun. And I'm so grateful that we have this.
Yeah. The podcast is awesome. And thank you for listening, everyone who's listening now.
Yes. Thank you for being here, for giving us a reason to continue to show up every single week for 327 episodes.
That's wow. A lot of recording.
That's a lot of recording. It is. Okay. I think I'll segue with that and say, when we talk about some of the things that we know we went first with and started, this podcast is definitely high up there for me. When it was March of 2020, I guess more like end of Jan, early Feb 2020, before the world had shut down, I didn't know a podcaster. I listened to podcasts and I thought it was only something that somebody so much further along in a journey could have, but I didn't know any of my friends who had podcasts or like people that I had everyday conversations with. And I really got the call to want to start a podcast. And since I didn't have a friend or a pal or a networking buddy or anybody like that I knew of that I could ask, like, how do you start this thing? I just put on my little student cap and I was like, I'm getting to town and I'm going to figure this out. And I watched all the YouTubes and I was like, I'm going to just start, and not knowing how it would reach people or who would even listen. I know that starting the podcast without having like tangible proof of this is how it's going to work was one of the best decisions that I ever did. And by going first, it has allowed us to create Podcasting 101 and how to monetize your podcast. And so we've been able to help so many other women along the way now start and grow their own podcast because they can directly ask me questions, the people who are in our program, whereas I didn't have somebody that I knew of that I could directly ask questions. So I'm so grateful that I went first because I now can help everybody who wants to do this on their journey.
It's really fun to have this as a platform to connect with people all over the world.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So Kayla and I both sat down and we created like little lists of, okay, where do we think we went first or we're paving the way or did something different, broke out of the mold. Out of the little list that you have generated there, what's one that stands out for you of if people hear this, they'll know, okay, I don't necessarily need the proof to go first. I just need the ambition.
I think one place that I'm leading that I would love other women to come along and would be so helpful if you stepped up to the plate, if you want to talk about this and this is your calling too, send us a DM on Instagram. I will happily have a meeting with you. And it's being the person in our business who integrates all of the tech. So starting from the idea, Nicole and I talk about it. And then my brain works so easily to think, okay, how are we going to organize that and execute it so that it can get to people in a seamless way? And I love finishing things. So if you hear yourself in this message, let's go. There aren't enough women who are doing this role in businesses. Often it falls to men to do, and we can talk about money later, but it falls to men to do the investing and the organizing of systems and deciding what you're going to buy and how you're going to implement that. And women just say, and I'm saying just because I think a lot of people are dismissing what they could be doing. They just say, oh, I don't know how to do it. And I just have the idea and I don't understand how this all works. And that's where it ends. But imagine if Nicole wanted to have a podcast and then she just said, I don't know how to have a podcast and I don't see anyone doing it. And so that's where it ended. Now she said, okay, I'm going to have a podcast and I'm going to figure this out. And it's the same thing with integration of systems like Kajabi, Thrivecart, Zapier, all those things that make an online business thrive. Now, just through practice and a passion for learning and figuring out how it works, I can confidently say that I can support you to set up a multiple seven-figure business through these systems that we use. And we know the ins and the outs. I know what's important and what's not important to set up of the different software systems. And I know which ones work and which ones you don't need. So I would say, if you're listening and you think, yeah, that's how my brain works too. I love to take things all the way through to completion. I love to learn different systems. Then let's talk, because we need more women being integrators. Mm. When I talk to other people who are integrators in business, there's usually a couple women in the room and the rest of the room is filled with men and has very bro energy. And it's just not somewhere that I want to put myself. So I don't often learn from other integrators. Often I'm learning based on what we need in our business and how to apply it. And I would love to have the conversation with more women.
And I think the other side of this, the really important piece here too, is that there are approximately like millions of women-owned online businesses, women visionaries who are looking for their other half, who are looking for their version of Kayla. They don't want the bro. They want another aligned woman who can tap into her feminine energy while doing a masculine task. And that's what you do. And yeah, we know of maybe one other person who's wired quite like you. And that's really about it.
Yeah. So if it's you, send us a DM on Instagram and Nicole will connect us and we'll have a call and let's get more women in what we call tech, but really it's application of systems to support a multiple six and seven figure online business.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
What's one of yours?
Another one of mine that I think is really important, and I know lots of you listening could benefit from hearing this, in that I did not come from a family of entrepreneurs. I came from two parents who worked the same job their entire adult life from the beginning till the end. So 30 plus years, my mom and dad in their same job. And I had some uncles that did some like entrepreneurial things on the side. But for the most part, I don't know of anybody that went after it and wanted to build a business that really lit them up. And what I saw was, especially from my dad's side of the family, like really traditional jobs. My dad's sister is a teacher for 35 years. His two brothers were police officers. I saw the like very traditional types of jobs. And then on my mom's side, I saw lots of like admin positions and different things like that. And I never, and I heard of lots of people not enjoying their work, but I never saw anybody say, I'm not going to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave this job I don't like. I'm going to leave my 9 to 5. And out of my teacher friends, I was not the only one who was like, this is crazy. The amount of that we're being worked and being underpaid and this system. I was not the only one who thought that way at the time. I was the only one who was willing to leave. And so I think that at the time, again, I didn't know teachers who were leaving their jobs. Now I know so many, what I would call teacherpreneurs, teachers who have left their jobs because it's in my field and or in my RAS, and I'm seeing more and more women. And I'm having, again, because I did it, having so many conversations with people that are saying, how did you do it? And I'm like, I can tell you the like actual way. I resigned. And then I looked for other work that would pay me. I got a yoga teacher job. I got a restaurant waitressing job. I did that, blah, blah, blah. Like, I can tell you the actual steps. I know that you're not asking that. You're asking, how did I get over the fear? How did I get the courage? What did I say to all the people who were afraid for me? Oh, my parents, my mom, my dad, my whatever. They don't want me to. Yeah, of course they don't. They think that it's safe for you. They think it's what's best for you because they think they know what's best for your life. So how did I do it? I took complete ownership over my own life and happiness and made a decision that I knew wouldn't make or break my whole entire life. If I left teaching and then all of a sudden I felt like I was floundering and needed to go back into teaching, I have enough self-trust in myself to know that I'm employable and I'm experienced and I'm likable. I could get another teaching job. It, like, I just could. And so I think for everybody out there who's freaking out and being like, I hate my job so much and I want to do something differently, or I just don't know how to get into the online space, just try. That's how did
give
you
it
do
a
it?
Shot.
Give it a shot. And then you can create a backup plan for yourself. Give yourself more credit. Trust yourself more. The amount of people walking around not trusting themselves, I'm like, that's going to be your first step. If you want to take action on any of this stuff, you have to trust that you know what you're doing. And if you don't know what you're doing, you have to trust that you've always figured it out up until now. So why would you not figure it out beyond this decision?
Yeah. And we're here to help. This is our favorite thing ever in the whole world to talk about. So again, if you're on the fence, you want to leave, you want to do something different, just send us a DM. Let's chat about it.
Yeah.
Okay. I have another fun one that I didn't think of when I made my list.
Okay.
Are you ready? You haven't heard this one. I am the first woman in my family who did not dye their hair and is letting my hair go gray.
Oh, good one. Okay.
Yeah. When you tell said, us the... how do you do it? You said, how do you do it? You just resign. People ask me all the time, how do you do it? How do you have gray hair? And I'm like, you have gray hair. You just don't dye it. That's how you have gray hair. But that's the most simple answer. They're not asking that. They're asking, how do you have the courage to have gray hair and all these things?
Yeah. Okay. So how do you have the courage to have gray hair in a society where there's a lot of pressure to continue to look young and gray hair is not associated with young? And so how do you do it? Where does that courage come from, if you want to call courage, and what's the desire? And do you get any feedback or pushback from people in your family or friend group?
Okay. First thing about feedback, pushback, that kind of thing about people in my friends and family is that if people haven't seen me in a while, and the last time they saw me, I had less gray hair than I have now, they are shocked. And most people say something like, oh, you're really letting your hair go, or, you know, something like that. I saw my friend Sam and he said, oh, wow, you have a lot of gray hair. And he just, I guess he couldn't help himself. He yelled it out. And I said, yes, I do. So anyway, that happens. And you know what? I was thinking, why doesn't this bother me? And why do I know that this is me and this is how it's going to be? And I just move on. I don't think about it too much. When I was little and I wanted to get my ears pierced, my dad said to me, you can get your ears pierced, but you definitely don't need holes in your head to look pretty, or something along those lines. I remember it being really funny that he said holes in your head. And I thought, oh, that's a really graphic way to say that, even when I was 8 or something. And that has stuck with me for my whole life. He was always telling us, like, don't compare yourself and be who you are and be happy in what you want to do and stand true to yourself, because he is a total rebel and that's how he is. Basically, if he wants to do something and someone's in his way, they're not going to last for long. Mm-hmm. I saw that example growing up. But then the other side of it is I saw my mom, as I was growing up, dyeing her hair and having to go back to the hairdresser every 4 weeks or whatever it is to cover up her roots. So the combination of the two, of my dad just being so true to himself and who he is all the time, regardless if people like it or not, my mom being a slave to the hairdresser, kind of made it a no-brainer to me that I'm not going to engage in that. And also, I don't like going to the hairdresser, so that helps. And I don't know. I just feel like if you want to dye your hair, go for it. If you want to have gray hair, come along on the journey. It's really nice to have low maintenance hair. That's my story.
Did you ever dye your hair?
Maybe not profound. Oh yeah. In my 20s, I used to have blonde hair, just like we all did. Mm. All the elder millennials, can I hear a hell yeah? When you were at the club and it was engine number 9 on the New York Transit line, and we had our dyed blonde hair.
Oh yeah.
And we were just, oh no.
Like
full streaks. There was a time that there were many streaks, and then as my hair started to go gray, I just disengaged with that entirely. And here I am.
We could take this so many layers deeper of, we could take it so many layers deeper. I do have one more question. Like, how can you relate this to going against the grain of what society says is like good and normal and beautiful to what society might say about being like a public figure with an online business? We have we don't have a huge platform, but we have a platform and we have lots of eyes watching us on Instagram, on the podcast, on Facebook. We're in lots of big networking groups and in big rooms. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you hear that these are all the standards of beauty, and you are, let's say you are a public figure. People see you. Do you ever feel there's, is that, Is there ever that, oh, I should maybe consider looking a different way? Or are you always so grounded in, no, I know I can be a public figure business owner and stick true to what I believe is like beautiful and works for me?
Yeah, it's a good question. As you're talking and I'm thinking about this, I see gray hair as a radical act of freedom, the same way that I see being an entrepreneur as a radical act of freedom. There's no one who can tell me what to do as an entrepreneur. And there's nobody and no standards that can tell me that I have to go sit at the hairdresser every 4 weeks or I'll have a skunk line. I just am not into that. I want to be free. This is how it is. And I won't be told what to do in that way. I think it's part of my rebel streak. And it's part of both of our deep value and desire for freedom is that I'm not going to be a slave to the hair dyeing companies. Not happening.
Okay. Yeah. I love it. The next one that I have is ending a previous engagement that I was in is a really important one for me because again, I have seen many marriages over my lifetime like that. I'm like, you are not in love. What is going on here? And even knowing in myself that I didn't want to be with this person for the rest of my life and didn't know how to say, I want out of this. And I was like praying for a bigger, better reason. And when that happened, I did have the choice to stay. I had the choice to stay. Of course I could have stayed. And it was in that moment that I thought I was more afraid to tell people that we were calling off the wedding because we were having a destination wedding. I was more afraid of, should I stay with this guy and get married to him so that I don't have to tell everybody that they are going to lose their deposits and cancel the wedding? I should probably just stay with him for the rest of my life to appease everybody else, truly. And that was the conversation I had with my mom. And my mom
was
like,
that's a hard decision.
Oh, fuck no. We will go. We will all still go on this destination trip. And if people don't want to come, that's on them. But we will go. There will be no wedding, but we will go. And you are not staying in this for that reason. And I think I was the first in my friend group to end a marriage or end an engagement or anything like that. And it gave me a lot of liberation and freedom to now do the work that we do, because we have women who are running businesses who are living human lives, who are like, hey, I'm trying to grow my business and my marriage is falling apart. And I feel like I can come from this standpoint of, your marriage could end and you will still keep going if that's what you want. And so I think by walking away from that situation, I proved to myself that the world will keep spinning. And I feel like it has allowed me to be in a position as a coach who are working with women who live very interesting, complex lives to say, yeah, I've been through a similar situation. I know the fear that you're going through. And if you want this, what's available on the other side is not going to be the world ending. You can keep going on.
And shout out to your mom who said, oh no, you're not spending the rest of your life like this. We're still going on vacation. That is a power move to support you and not make you feel guilty that everyone was already booked. She made the most of the situation of the lemons out of the lemonade and brought you along with her in that she knew what you wanted and she wasn't going to let anything stand in the way of that. So shout out to your mom.
Shout out to you, mom. If you hear this, yes, because that was the only factor for me of I should probably stay in it because all these people have already paid a deposit.
And how many people have done things, even all of us listening, we've all done things over time. It's easier to do something that's hard for myself or worse for myself, but keeps the peace.
Totally.
Absolutely. And the thing is that you don't have to live that way. We've all got to take a page from the Nicole/Charlene book, and how amazing that you knew what you wanted and had the backup to be able to execute it.
The backup from somebody, my mom is still happily married. To have the backup, yes, I'm so grateful for that. And for the people listening, like, I didn't have the proof. I didn't have people ending marriages around me and showing me like, it'll still be okay.
Yeah.
It was like, I just saw everybody staying in their marriage. I didn't even see marriages ending that were like going disruptive. I just saw everybody being like, oh, we're just sticking together, but we're in it for the long haul till literally death do us part. And I'm like, really? I think there can be another way. And so I'm grateful that I went first. Again, all these examples we want to give to everybody is you might not see lots of proof of this in your own life, but you can be the first, or you can be the example, or try it out.
And then my last example before we go to what we desire to be the first in is sad too. I was sad in the moment and it still feels sad now. And I'm so glad I talked about it. So I had a couple of miscarriages too. And then I had a baby who died. And then I have two kids now who are alive and thriving. And my two miscarriages, I was scared. I'd never heard anyone in my family talk about miscarriage. It had never happened to me. So I didn't know who to talk to and who could relate with me. And I think doctors see it all the time. And so my doctor was pretty desensitized to the whole situation. And she was saying like, oh, sweetie, it's going to be okay. Like consoling me. But when I had to call and tell my parents, because I live far away, I live in British Columbia, they live in Ontario, it was really hard for all of us. And then I had to decide, am I telling the rest of my family? Do I even tell them I'm pregnant the second time? And then my second miscarriage I had was around 12 weeks, I think, or further along. And it's so funny. In the moment, you think you're never going to forget any of the details of anything. It's so locked in the moment. Now I'm like, I don't know, 12 weeks, maybe. So that just proves that time heals and talking about it heals. And I could have kept it just to myself. I could have given shame and embarrassment and all those things the spotlight, but I decided that I have to talk to my family about it because I am the oldest cousin of a whole bunch of cousins, many of whom are women, and they're having kids now, and all those kids are girls. And I had never heard anyone in my family talk about miscarriage before, and I was scared. And I thought, if I don't say anything, it's going to happen to them, because miscarriages happen a lot. And one very common. Yeah, maybe one. Those are the reported ones even. Yeah. It's just so common and people don't talk about it enough, and it's heartbreaking, and it's so hard to have your hopes up and be on this roller coaster. And then you go to your ultrasound and you get the bad news that the fetus isn't viable. And then where do you turn after that? So I went first to tell my family, and who knows, I didn't make a public announcement, send a direct email about the miscarriages to everyone. So I don't know what the message is that got to all of my cousins, because I come from a traditional East Coast and then French Canadian Catholic family. So it's not something that we talk about easily. And it is, so nobody wants to see me hurt, and nobody wants to see me heartbroken. And so it's just, I guess we're not going to talk about it because it's just too hard. And then when our first baby that could have been born died the year after her death, on her birthday, I didn't hear anything from anyone in my family. And I had to speak up and say, I'm really heartbroken today. And I would have appreciated, or yesterday, whenever I told them, I would have appreciated if somebody recognized that. And my Nana, my mom said, oh, we were all thinking of it, but we didn't want to upset you. And so we didn't want to bring it up. And it's, I had to go first and say, I'm always thinking about it. And it's not like I'm ever going to forget it. And you bringing it up doesn't upset me more. It just makes me feel like you're paying attention to what matters in my life. And then in sharing that experience with them, I could have the conversations with so many other people in my life over time that have had miscarriages or lost babies, or have had babies in the NICU that didn't make it, or whatever that looks like, and hold space for them, because it's so hard. Your family doesn't want to see you hurt. And it's a really intensely emotional time. And the promise of new life and then that not happening feels so hard. And if we don't talk about it, then it's just inside and we can't get it out. That's a place that I definitely went first in my family, and then heard about other babies who had died in miscarriages that I'd never heard about before. Here I am going first, even though it's really hard in that way.
And I see you and love you and honor you in that. And I think it's about you were willing to be the first to have uncomfortable conversations and how important those are. Like, maybe it's not always going to be in your family. Maybe it's not always going to be about miscarriage, but it'll be about something else that's uncomfortable. And people can hopefully in your family know that you're somebody they can talk to because you were willing to go first and say, yeah, this is really uncomfortable and hard and emotional, and we still need to talk about it.
Oh, totally. I could cry right now thinking about it, but I always cry when I'm at home because I miss everyone and we're having a fun time. And then I just start to cry like I'm crying right now. And it gives other people in my family permission to feel those emotions too, because I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? I'm crying. Here I am again. And at the retreat last year, and we'll talk more about the retreat after this for this year, but at the retreat last year, it was like day one, we're having a private concert. In the private concert, the person who was singing was talking about how she had childhood cancer. And I was crying. And one of our clients looked over at me and was like, I did not peg you as the crying one. And you've been crying all day. And I was like, it's just how I am. I'm the crying one, and everyone else has permission to cry around me all the time. It is what it is. Get your Kleenexes. We're going deep.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, coming back to one of the greatest compliments that I think we receive all the time, Kayla, is people saying that they love that we're real and that they can connect to us and that we're human. And that's why people do choose to build their businesses with us, because we're not saying come hell or high water, build your business. We're saying like, let's build a business. And we know life is going to happen in between. And we have clients that have also dealt with loss and with infertility and with miscarriage. And because you've shared your story, they know that you can not only be empathetic towards them, but also know a level of what they're going through. And so I'm not saying as a business coach or as any sort of service provider, you need to know what everybody is, you need to experience what everybody else has experienced. That's not what we're saying. What I am saying is that because of us being open about life's experiences, I know that the women who come into our world feel safe to open up about their life experience, because we don't try and paint a picture perfect life. We say, listen, these are all the things we've been through, and we still want to choose freedom.
It informs everything we do that we know that you get this one chance in this one body on earth with your one family and your core group of people around you. This is your chance to go for it. And the people who want to come along on the journey are going to come along on the journey. And people who, where it's too hard for them or they're too jealous or whatever, they're on their own journey. But we're here showing up 100% with what we've been through, with compassion, with empathy, and with the go for it to make it happen on this one chance we have.
Yeah, that is exactly it. And that I love this work. I love being able to facilitate this work and be in this work and be in this world. And again, if I would choose to be in my aligned purpose over and over again, regardless of how hard it can get or whatever may be going on, and when I say hard, okay, what's our next level we're unsure of, and we're working towards that. And I choose this over anything else any day.
Yeah, me too. That's the best. Okay, so do we want to talk about our desires, where we want to go first next? And is it the same?
Okay, you go first and then I'll share. Where is an area of life that you're like, I don't really know how it's going to be done, but I'm going for it?
I think it's the desire. I know it's my desire to have an 8-figure company. And as we've been being coached and in all these groups that we're in and learning who does what in our company, I think we could be one of the first female co-CEO, co-founder groups to go to 8 figures to make it happen.
Yes, because we hear this all the time. People are perplexed by how we do this together. What do you mean it's 50-50? We're like, if you only knew the telepathy that we have, where it's, did you do this? Yeah. Is this getting done? On it. And it's between both of us. We just know where to pick up the pieces.
Yeah, that's my desire. And I know it's unfolding. I don't know how we're going to get there. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know all the pieces that are going to happen, but I know that every time we've taken the steps to move towards whatever we want, it does unfold, even though we're searching blind sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. Mine is similar. And as far as I know, if you're a millionaire in my family, speak up. But as far as I know, I don't know any millionaires in my family. And I want to be the first millionaire in my family. And then with that, I want to build a granny suite on my property that my parents can live on. And so that they can choose to be at my sister's or at my house or back east and circle around to their three places that they want to be. But I want to be in a financial position where I can purchase property that I can put my parents on it. And so that hopefully someday, if when I have kids, I can have my grandparents or their grandparents around, because my grandmother, I was so close to her growing up, and it's really important to me. And again, I see money as a resource and as a tool. And when I become the first millionaire in my family, that's one of the goals I'm working towards.
Okay, I love that. I was thinking of how I would love to have a retreat at one of our houses when I was thinking of our retreat coming up and dreaming up what's going to happen in the future. And then instantly I went to your vision board, your lake house. I don't care whose house it's at, mine or yours, or how we make that happen or what goes down, but we are going to be celebrating and having retreats at one of our houses in the future.
Yeah, stay tuned. If it's the lake house that has been on my vision board for 2 years now that I actually know the owner of, that's a whole other fucking bizarre story. Okay, quick story. I have a house on my vision board. It's been on there for almost 2 years. It's the background of my computer. Kayla and I get asked to go speak at an event. We speak at the event. Somebody at the event says, "Hey, you did a really great job speaking today. You two are awesome. I hear you run retreats. I have this property. If you ever want to host retreats at my property, it's beautiful. It overlooks the lake. It has a pool." And I said, "Yeah, keep us in mind." And she said, "Okay, I'll send you the link." And she sent the link, and the first picture that came up with the pin when she sent it over was the fucking house that is my screensaver. And I was like, "Oh my God, I know this house. I don't even have to click on this link. I know the bedrooms. I know the yard. I know what it looks like." And sure enough, I opened it up and I said to her, I was like, "I can't make this up. Your house is my vision board house. It's on there." And she said, "Let's get you up there. Let's give you a tour. Let's have you hosting a retreat there." And I'm like, I see you, universe.
Yeah, we should do a fall retreat there.
We should. Okay.
Okay, we're getting really behind the scenes biz besties here. Don't hold us to that. We'll keep you posted when it's all going down, but we should do that.
Yes,
Okay.
we should. Okay. So this has been really fun. What I really trust is that by listening to this, you have that little voice in the back of your head that says, whatever your name is, go do it, try it out, go first, stop waiting. Pave the way, be the role model. Imagine what will come after you go first. Much possibility.
Okay. DM us on Instagram at My Aligned Purpose and tell us what you're going first in, what you need support with, how this landed with you. We can't wait to hear from you.
Yes. And then also, before we go, Kayla, do you want to share what Map Insider would do for people listening to this podcast?
Yes, I would love to. Okay. So we're hosting a retreat on Friday, May 31st, June 1st, and Sunday, June 2nd at the Oak Bay Beach Hotel here in Victoria. And it is going to be so much fun. We're going to do lots of inner work, fill your cup work, the stuff that's going to make you feel like you're absolutely unstoppable by the end of the weekend. We are going to help you make connections, long table dinners. It's going to be beautiful and super fulfilling. That is the weekend. We created a code just for our people inside of My Aligned Purpose. You can use the code MAP until Friday to get $500 off your retreat ticket. So if you go to myaligndpurpose.com/retreat, or you can look in the show notes and use the code MAP Insider, you get $500 off. So your ticket price is going to be $2,250, and we cannot wait to see you there. That's in Canadian dollars.
Okay, We're retreating in like less than 6 weeks. So get your butt over there. Come join us. Women literally coming from all over the world, from New Zealand, the Netherlands, the UK, California, across Canada. Come join us.
Hey, see you soon.
Ciao for now.